KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we welcome you to Crosstalk today here on BCY America. It's a must-listen-to program as we have much information to share with you today. There are some who have the belief system that it doesn't matter who occupies the Oval Office, and I'm going to beg to differ. It does matter who occupies the Oval Office. Today we're going to be hearing some of the views on those who are seeking the Oval Office. Last Thursday, CNN hosted the Power of Pride town hall event in Los Angeles. In essence, it was a presidential debate as to how the candidates fully embrace and would propagate an LGBT activist agenda upon this nation as a whole. This thing ran multiple hours as candidates shared how they would trample on the First Amendment free exercise of religion in order to make way for the intolerant and activist LGBT agenda to fully take control of this nation. And while doing so, one would even embrace the removal of tax exemption from all schools, all colleges, Christian colleges, homeless shelters, faith-based adoption agencies, women's shelters, ministries, and churches that do not embrace so-called same-sex marriage and the LGBT agenda. Not one candidate at this forum spoke up at this forum to say, oh, I would never do that. He's totally wrong. I'm convinced we're living in the times, ladies and gentlemen, of Romans chapter 1. Well, here to discuss this recent CNN Power of Pride event and related issues, we welcome back to Crosstalk Peter LaBarbera, the president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. They are a nonpartisan educational group that's dedicated to exposing the homosexual, bisexual, transgender activist agendas. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. What a sad day that we have one of our two major political parties completely and utterly pandering to one side on this moral issue, which is the pro-homosexual, pro-transgender side. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And Peter, I thought, suppose such an event would be held on how to advance the Christian ideology, how to advance the Christian religion rather than the religion that worships at the altar of the LGBTQ. What a reaction would happen, what kind of reaction would you suppose would happen at such a town hall?
Exactly, Jim. That would never happen, even if the Republicans decided to do it. But it's interesting that you say religion, because I believe this LGBTQ phenomenon in our culture is sort of like a cult. And the Democrats are completely worshiping this cult right now.
We need to point out also that the timing of this event was no accident. Peter, this was on the eve of the so-called National Coming Out Day.
Yeah, the National Coming Out Day, which is, it's amazing, Jim, how many media support this day, which is celebrating people supposedly coming out as if they're coming out of the closet by publicly declaring their homosexuality. But Jim, the way I put it is they're really coming into darkness. It's really not about coming out into truth, but it's about embracing spiritual darkness. So it's a propaganda term, but again, it has the full support now of the media and one political party.
Well, Peter, one thing that was in common with all the candidates last Thursday evening is that everyone supports the so-called Equality Act. What is this Equality Act?
Jim, this Equality Act is the most dangerous piece of federal legislation on the LGBTQ side ever. It would add sexual orientation and gender identity, those two phrases into the landmark 1964 Civil Rights Act. And what that would do, Jim, would basically create special civil rights protections based on immoral and changeable homosexual and genderism. For example, there's one special provision. I mean, it's written into the bill, Jim, and we've talked about this before, where it specifically overwrites the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, mm-hmm. which was designed to protect, to enhance the protections that we have as Americans under our First Amendment, of course, our religious and First Amendment freedoms, but especially our religious freedoms. This bill would basically say gay and transgender and bisexual rights override that, Jim.
Yeah.
It says it right in the law. Whenever there's a conflict, gay rights would win.
And indeed, that seemed to be an overriding belief that was emitting from these candidates in that your First Amendment, free exercise of religion, that's going to be thrown under the bus here because these LGBT special rights are going to trump that. Let's take examination of some of the candidates that we're speaking of. Peter, we're going to go to Liz Warren first and have just a few clips that we're going to be sharing with you, but this one is a 9-year-old child. It is a biological girl who is identifying as a boy who is standing next to her mother and sharing the question here to Liz Warren. I'd like us to capture in on what took place there.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. My question is...
Applauding this, folks. Unbelievable. This is on CNN.
What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me feel safer in schools? And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't have to worry about anything but my homework?
Oh, I like that question, Jacob. We're going to do this. So let me start by saying I want to have a Secretary of Education who both believes in public education and believes in the value of every one of our kids and is willing to enforce our civil rights laws. It turns out that when the Department of Education was set up many years ago, the Secretary of Education was given a whole lot of power over the public schools and over the rules and how they're enforced. And we've had some secretaries of education who've been better, and we've had one that's been a whole lot worse. Her name is Betsy DeVos. So when I'm president, she'll be gone. Here's my plan, Jacob. I'm going to find just the right Secretary of Education, but here's what I plan to do. I want to make sure that the person I think is the right Secretary of Education meets you and hears your story, and then I want you to tell me if you think that's the right person, and then we'll make the deal. Does that sound good?
Okay, Peter, give us your response to this.
Okay, first of all, this is utterly shocking that Elizabeth Warren said she would allow a 9-year-old gender-confused biological girl, I believe, right, Jim, who believes she's a boy and her parent is letting her glom onto that belief. Elizabeth Warren would allow this gender-confused 9-year-old, or maybe by then she'll be 10, to vet her Secretary of Education should she win the presidency. That's shocking alone. But you know what that's a lot like, Jim? That's a lot like a parent allowing a 9-year-old child to decide which sex he or she is. I mean, this is incredible what's happening, because what is that parent is guilty of parental neglect and this liberal parenting, which allows a child who doesn't even know what sex is yet, a 9-year-old, to decide that they're not their biological sex. And then, Jim, I don't know how much reading you've done on it, but I was just reading a pro-transgender book in which they advocate allowing the delaying of puberty through hormones. Now, think about that. Parents used to worry about, oh, my child isn't growing up fast enough. It's not maturing. It's not tall enough. It should be. It's not the normal height. Now, these transgender activists and their allies in the medical profession are allowing parents to purposely delay puberty so that they could the puberty and the development, sexual development, and the organs don't develop like they normally would, and the Democrats are pandering to this agenda. Utterly shocking.
It is, and when she talks also about one who's going to enforce our civil rights laws, folks, that our civil rights laws refers to sex, and it was a widespread belief when they were passed in the 1960s, it meant male and female. Now, there's a case before the Supreme Court that's going to be addressing that issue here, but very interesting. Peter, I want to get another clip in before the break, and this is which Liz Warren was asked about a person of faith. Listen in.
Now, let's say you're on the campaign trail, and you're approached.
You have been.
And a supporter approaches you and says, Senator, I'm old-fashioned, and my faith teaches me that marriage is between one man and one woman. What is your response?
Well, I'm going to assume it's a guy who said that. And I'm going to say, then just marry one woman. I'm cool with that. Assuming you can find one.
Let me ask you a follow-up on that.
A follow-up. Joy kill. All right. What's your follow-up,
That's
Chris?
The job. That's
okay.
The job.
Yeah, okay.
You grew up conservative in a conservative household.
Uh-huh.
You were Republican by party for many years.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time that you felt differently about this issue in particular, about same-sex marriage?
No, I don't think so. I actually don't remember it. I mean, it may have been the case. I don't have notes from when I was a little kid. But I don't. And that's part of it. I mean, to me, it's about what I learned in the church I grew up in. First song I ever remember singing is, "They are yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world." And to me,
can you sing it again?
You bet. You want to harmonize with me on this? But to me, that is the heart of it. That was the basis of the faith that I grew up in. And it truly is about the preciousness of each and every life. It is about the worth of every human being. And that I saw this as a matter of faith and saw there are a lot of different people who do a lot of different things, who look different from each other, who sound different from each other, who form different kind of families.
Peter, your response to this?
Well, first of all, it's just a huge love fest. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That the whole thing
this
was choreographed.
Chris Cuomo at CNN.
But I mean, note the condescension, the arrogance. If you dare believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, you might not even be able to find an opposite sex spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how condescending that it's just something to be laughed at. More than 30 states passed constitutional amendments protecting marriages, one man and one woman, just a few short years ago, Jim. I mean, this is incredible. And here she's also, my friend Janet Mepper points out, she's caught in a lie here, as if she always thought that marriage between two men was acceptable.
Yeah.
This has only been an issue for what, Jim? About, you know, a couple decades?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that itself doesn't ring true. The whole thing is deeply troubling.
Peter LeBarber with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll discuss further about the presidential candidates embracing the LGBT agenda at the recent Power of Pride Town Hall. This was put on by CNN. We understand the HRC Foundation was involved with it. The Power of Pride event held in Los Angeles last Thursday. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Last Thursday, presidential candidates on the Democratic Party embraced the LGBT agenda and really became strong advocates in many different regards. CNN hosted the Power of Pride town hall event this would be Los Angeles. And we're hearing some of the clips that took place from this, but listening to some with, I want to play one more clip here with Liz Warren, and this is when she was asked about inmates and being able to have taxpayer-funded transgender surgery. Let's listen in.
So, Senator, quick follow. Speak to your evolution on this. In the 2012 campaign for Senate, you criticized the judge's ruling that granted transition-related surgery to a transgender inmate. You said, I don't think it's a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Do you regret that?
Yep. No, it's a bad answer. And I think it was a bad answer. And I believe that everyone is entitled to medical care. And medical care that they need. And that includes people who are transgender, who it is the time for them to have gender-affirming surgery. I just think that's important. And the appropriate medical care.
Peter, what was it, just a week or so ago, we saw the story coming out about all those who had the kind of medical care Liz Warren's talking about now regretting the surgeries that they've had?
Yes, and there's a great website on that, by the way, Sex Change Regret with Walt Heyer, who himself had the operation and now regrets it, sexchangeregret.com. But, Jim, again, here we go with taxpayers being forced to fund these grotesque, quote-unquote, surgeries. This is not health care. This is destroying the human body. We can't even describe them on a family show, Jim. It's
right,
so horrifying.
Right.
And I'm sure you would tell me not to describe them, but I've read these about these operations, and they're horrifying. No American taxpayer should be forced to fund one of these body-destroying surgeries, just like we should not be forced to pay for abortions.
Liz Warren was asked whether schools should teach children about sexual orientation and gender identity. Despite concerns from parents, she answered, I strongly support this from the time that they're very young. Peter, really doesn't matter what the parents think about this. This is something that she believes schools should do, and her Secretary of Education would be sure that sort of so-called education would be carried out.
Yeah, Jim, she said she wants a powerful Secretary of Education. Well, you combine the power that she wants that Secretary of Education to have and the agenda that she's espousing, which includes radical indoctrination right up from kindergarten all the way through college. I mean, that's scary, and I think that should probably scare a lot of parents. This is a radical agenda that wants to indoctrinate children because it knows it has to win them over. They're doing it in schools. That's why we see these boys. That's part of the reason why we see young boys like that 9-year-old. That was a girl there in that debate. But, kids who aren't even 10 years old saying they want to be the opposite gender, the opposite sex. This is all due to the LGBTQ agenda, and the Democrats are completely in.
Nope. Are you still with us, Peter?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. You cut out there for a moment. Wasn't Liz Warren involved in some kind of drag convention?
Oh, yes. Liz Warren, I believe, and I haven't gone deep on the research here, Jim, but I did find out that Liz Warren apparently had a booth at something called DragCon, which is a convention for drag queens, which are these gaudy, cross-dressing, biological men, homosexuals who dress as women. It's a complete mockery of women. And apparently she had a video message. I'll get you more on that, but I think she was the only one. And so I think Liz Warren is taking the cake here in terms of pandering, out and out pandering, with no limits of this LGBTQ movement.
Let's like to move on to Beto O'Rourke. And this is an amazing statement. It's made many of the newscasts, but he has come out saying that religious organizations should lose their tax-exempt status. Now, I mean, we're talking colleges, we're talking Christian daycare centers, we're talking homeless shelters and battered women's home shelters, we're talking churches, we're talking ministries across the nation. Listen to how that exchange took place.
This is from your LGBTQ plan, and here's what you write. This is a quote. Freedom of religion is a fundamental right, but it should not be used to discriminate. Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority, and we are going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans.
See, listen, folks, he said we're going to stop them. We're going to stop those. The question is, should they, you know, have their tax-exempt status revoked if they oppose same-sex marriage? Without hesitation, he gave that one-word answer, yes. Peter LaBarber, your thoughts.
Yes, he's a desperate man, Jim, doing anything he can to try to get votes, pandering to the worst elements within the Democratic Party. This is frightening that he does not understand the First Amendment. The reason they can't force groups is because we have a First Amendment. There are lots of groups, Jim, that me and you and I would disagree with wholeheartedly that still get a tax exemption. Obviously, Beto does not understand the Constitution, does not understand the First Amendment, which sets America apart. It protects us. And to hear a leader now and all the clapping, even a lot of some homosexual activists still do not say that we should throw away the First Amendment, but now apparently it's becoming mainstream within this LGBTQ movement to hear people clapping at the idea of pastors essentially being forced to recognize these artificial same-sex so-called marriages.
Peter, on another issue, he was asked about conversion therapy, and he said, and I quote, "Conversion therapy should be illegal. This is tantamount to torture on children who are absolutely defenseless."
He's mimicking the most extreme rhetoric of the homosexual transgender lobby. Only the most extreme radicals, like a guy named Joe Jervis, who's got a blog called Joe My God up in New York, radical, lying, homosexual activist, calls ex-gay talk therapy torture, and now Beto has picked that up, and it's ridiculous. This is talk therapy. For example, some of this therapy is, for example, kids, say a boy who was molested by an older, say a homosexual man, and his parents do not want him to embrace a so-called gay identity, so they take him to pro-heterosexual, maybe a Christian talk therapist. That's what this is, and he's comparing that to torture? Give me a break.
Peter LaBarber is with us here today on Crosstalk, and again, this is the CNN Town Hall on Power of Pride. I'd like to move on to Cory Booker here as well, and Cory Booker was talking about, he was asked somebody about the Pulse nightclub, and he pointed the blame back at right-wing extremist groups and hate groups for this violence. Let's listen to this clip.
On June 12, 2016, I was present as a man with an assault weapon murdered 49 mostly LGBTQ people of color at Pulse nightclub. I was very lucky to make it out. Unfortunately, my friends were not. That night, we were reminded that LGBTQ people, specifically those of color, are often, too often, the targets of hate violence. With the rise of violence against trans women of color, how will you ensure that law enforcement is equipped to treat marginalized victims of crime with dignity and respect?
Cory Booker.
So first of all, very clearly, it is a national emergency. The majority of the terrorist attacks in this country since 9/11 have been right-wing extremist groups. The majority of them have been white supremacist and hate groups. And I will elevate as President of the United States an office on hate crimes and white supremacy to make sure it is a presidential level effort to protect our country as a whole. But I'm not stopping there. We need to have a Department of Justice that recognizes this as a problem and investigates hate crimes. We must take the steps necessary to keep these weapons out of the hands of people that are doing those crimes. But we can't stop there. 30% of LGBTQ youth, 30% have reported missing school in the last month because of fears for their physical safety. We live in a country where we still see regular, everyday violence and intimidation and bullying against Americans because of who they are. And so, number one, I am going to appoint a Secretary of Education, first of all, that sees the dignity and the worth and the value of every one of our children. And I will have a Department of Education that takes the steps necessary to protect all children in America.
Okay, so Peter, here we have another one that's talking about a drastic change in the Secretary of Education, but also took a swipe at, the hate crimes issue.
Yes, Jim, and I don't know where he's getting his statistics. I think probably from homosexual activist groups like GLSEN, the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network, and GLAAD. It's preposterous to believe that 30% of students who are identifying as LGBTQ are forced to leave school because of violence. I mean, these are the privileged kids in the schools now. It's the Christian kids who are being victimized, who are being made fun of and told that they, you know, being punished, as it were, because of they oppose homosexuality or they oppose gay marriage or girls who do not want biological males in the girls' restroom, which is another part of the homosexual agenda embraced by the Democrats. But Jim, these stats are all over the, I don't know what he's talking about. The majority of terror crimes committed by white supremacists, I don't know the accuracy of that. I thought a lot of the new attacks were anti-Semitic in New York. I don't know where he's getting that from, but again, the pandering is extreme and it's obnoxious and it's just unbelievable.
Well, we also saw the adoption of language, the co-opting of language that had been used by the activist LGBT organizations come through some of the rhetoric of various candidates. Joe Biden, for instance, said he would be leading the way in sexual issues, and then he lamented that we allow homophobes to control the agenda. So he's using that term. He's adopted their terminology, homophobe, as he relates to carrying water for the LGBT agenda.
Yeah, Jim, and I remember Vice President Biden back a few years ago under Obama would use extreme rhetoric, for example, calling people who believe in Christian, Judeo-Christian values like us, biblical values, Jim, bigots. And so this is nothing new, but what is new is having an entire debate where the questions are coming from a stage. This is like a rally. This is not really a debate. There was no, I didn't see the whole thing apparently like you did, Jim, but I don't believe there were any questions that are coming in this from a point of view that might be sympathetic to the tens of millions of Americans who don't believe their religious freedom should be overridden by homosexual or transgender activism, by the many people who don't, the women who don't believe biological males should be allowed into female restrooms and locker rooms. No questions like that, Jim.
One thing they did do, though, Peter, is trample on Scripture and trample on biblical values and trample on Christians through the rhetoric that came through this debate. I mean, there was no doubt about that.
Yes, and Pete Buttigieg has taken that into a science. He's the openly homosexual so-called Mayor Pete from Indianapolis. I mean, he blames his homosexuality on God, essentially, which is an incredible blasphemy. So, I mean, he's the forerunner of that strategy.
We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we're going to open our phone lines. Give us your reaction to this. And we've just heard a sampling of this multiple-hour town hall event on LGBTQ-related issues. Peter LaBarbera is with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their 1 week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Peter LaBarbera is with us today from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. I want to play just one last clip before we go to the phone lines. And, Peter, this is when they're taking, audience questions and talking to individuals. And all of a sudden, one who identified as a black trans woman, so this would be a biological male identifying as a woman, took over the microphone. I'd like to just hear what took place there.
I just want to take a moment before I ask my question to validate the pain of our transgender siblings that demonstrated earlier and that have spoken up today.
Okay, here comes the take over the microphone.
But let me tell you something. Black trans women are being killed in this country. And CNN, you have erased black trans women for the last time. Let me tell you something. Black trans women are dying. Our lives matter. I'm an extraordinary black trans woman. And I deserve to be here. My black trans sisters that are here. I am tired. I am so tired. I'm just saying that. And it's not just my black trans women.
Ma'am.
It's my black trans brothers, too. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
No, I'm gonna let you come here. No, I just want to ask you something. Come here. I want you to talk. What's your name?
I'm Blossom C. Bryant.
Blossom, let me ask
you. Google me.
Blossom.
Please Google me.
Blossom, thank you. Let me tell you something. No, don't come on the stage. May I have the mic?
Okay.
May I have the mic? Blossom, let me tell you something. The reason that we're here is to validate people like you. That is why we're giving, but that is why we're here. Okay. But I. Yeah, yeah. Hang on, we can't hear you. Blossom, we can't hear you. Here, Blossom, we can't hear you.
Baby, your actions have to speak louder than words, because guess what? Not one black trans woman has taken the mic tonight. Not one black trans man has taken the mic tonight.
Yeah.
Show me.
You, Blossom.
Show me.
Blossom. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Blossom, you're a black trans woman. You have the mic in your hand. I've taken and given it back to you. We want to hear from you. We have had trans people of color. We've had all people here. And you're welcome. But we are proud and happy that you're here. We're proud and happy that you're here. Yes, but remember, we're on our time constraint. All right. Thank you, Blossom, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's how anti-blackness works among people of color. That's what anti-blackness looks like. The erasure of black trans people.
All right.
I'm here. We're here in this room. Please give us that opportunity.
Blossom, thank you so much.
Okay, yeah. Peter, your response, sir.
Well,
how do you respond?
It's just chaotic. But I think there's something that's coming out in the whole debate, not just this, on the LGBT side. They're trying to say trans women of color are being, they make it sound like it's just a slaughter, that's senseless slaughter of trans women, which are biological men, but doesn't need to be women. But Jim, I've researched some of these cases, and many of them are actual prostitutes. Now, of course, nobody condones anybody being killed, but these are very, very bizarre cases in which often sometimes you'll have a man who's pretending to be a woman and acting as a prostitute, and you could just imagine the danger of that, and that does not come out in many of the media stories, that many of these people who are being murdered are prostitutes and escorts.
Peter LaBarbera with us. Peter, before we take the first phone call, give us your website.
Yes, Jim, it's Americans for Truth, and that's F-O-R, all written out, AmericansForTruth.com.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Marana, Arizona, and Lee, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. I'm sitting here listening, and this all was making me, my stomach kind of queasy, because when I listen to Elizabeth Warren. And all the lies she's been called up in, who would even believe her? And then the reason why, even if I was a Democrat, I wouldn't believe these candidates, because everything is yes. And that's how you can tell my opinion, they're lying. Because nothing is no, they're all with whatever goes, it's yes for them. So, at any rate, it's just a bunch of confusion, and I kind of feel ill listening to them, to be honest. So, anyway, have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Jean in Ohio, you're on the air.
Hello. I would like to comment on Elizabeth Warren, first of all. Singing a song saying that all children are precious in God's sight, isn't that a contradiction of what the Democrat Party believes when they love to support butchering babies by abortion?
what they're doing to these poor children, they're confirming a 9-year-old girl who is gender confused, and they're confirming that girl as a so-called boy, and they're all part of that, and that is taking innocent children and harming them through this political agenda.
Go ahead, Jean.
Oh, I see that. But also, they're trying to destroy Christianity, whereas we're not trying to destroy homosexuals. We just don't want to be forced to participate in their sin. But by saying that they want to take away all the tax exemptions and prosecute Christians for not participating, they want to destroy Christianity.
Yeah.
It's offensive to them, as we feel that they are offensive to us, but we seek to destroy no one.
Thank you, Jeannie, for your call here today. Peter is a very interesting comment, especially early on where she mentioned how each of these candidates supports the slaughtering of babies in the womb, and yet, you know, here she'll sing, you know, the children of the world, how they're precious in his sight. And yet, you know, it's just such a contradiction of standards here.
Absolutely, Jim. Psalm 139, Jesus knew us, the Lord knew us in the womb.
Yeah.
He created us, and God made them male and female. And so the abuse of Scripture is only the latest part of this democratic LGBTQ agenda, and it's horrifying to see them butcher Scripture to accomplish this sexual sin movement agenda, which is what we're talking about, and transgenderism, which even takes it a step further, denying the wonderful sex that God made you, denying that in the name of identity politics.
And we're seeing this throughout. There's another longer clip here from Cory Booker, too, just taking Micah 6, verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8, just totally misrepresenting what that book, that verse says. We've seen Pete Buttigieg doing the same thing. Let's go to Dave in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dave.
Yeah, Jim, listening to this program today, it is shocking that people would actually implement such tyranny. Romans 1, they're fools. Fools, the fool has said in their heart there is no God, or they're serving their false God. It's a real wake-up time for saints to start speaking the truth in love. And people should memorize this little phrase, Jim, truth becomes hate to those who hate the truth. They hate the truth, so they want to stop the truth from coming out. And finally, just a call to pastors. Pastors, if you're listening, you need to be speaking the truth in your pulpits. It's critical for our nation. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And Peter, we've got to go back to Genesis. I mean, this is our foundation. It is God's word. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Yes, and I like what the caller said, and I would encourage also, pastors, I mean, take the time. Actually, it's punishing, Jim, just listening to these excerpts, but take the time to realize that this is the most powerful, one of two of our major parties, totally given over to a sexual sin movement and a gender confusion movement that is so radical that they would actually purposely delay puberty in a child to accommodate that child's gender confusion. And this is the agenda. And I wonder, Jim, how much of this will get out into the mainstream. I mean, how much the media will one, push this agenda out there, but two, cover for some of its more radical elements. When the general election comes up, will the media be covering for the radicalism of the Democrats?
Let's go to Judy in Iowa. Judy, Judy, go ahead. You're on the air. Judy, turn down your radio.
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Turn your radio off. You're off. You're on. Turn the radio off. Go ahead, Judy.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to bring up what the president of the American Pediatrics Association on your program last spring told us, that scientifically the sex chromosome is present at conception.
Yes.
And these people are ignoring science and chemically changing these children or surgically changing them without them having any say-so in the decision.
Yeah.
I just wanted to remind everybody of that again, because I did not know that till I heard your program.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Peter, science deniers.
Absolutely. Yeah. These are the ultimate flat earthers, and I think that I also, Jim, I don't think it should be legal for a child to be given these hormone treatments. Or in Chicago, Jim, I think we talked about it once, a 16-year-old girl had her healthy breasts surgically removed. I do not think that should even be allowed. At least push it to adulthood, because how can we allow these children's bodies to be mangled when their minds aren't even fully developed yet? Their bodies aren't developed, and we're allowing this to happen to children.
Brian is calling from Rochester, Minnesota. You're on the air, Brian.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to Elizabeth Warren, and she was trying to sing Jesus Loves the Little Children, and what came to my mind is she has no fear of the Lord at all. I mean, a complete reprobate, Romans chapter 1, and also makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the God of this world has blinded them. And it's like, you know, the day that they meet the Lord, there's a terror I can't imagine. You know, they're deceiving millions and millions of people, you know.
Yeah.
That's why we got to get the truth out, the gospel. So I appreciate you doing that, and I'm glad that the Lord quickened my spirit, and I'm allowed to be on the winning side because he shed his blood for me at Calvary. Thank God, you know.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Can I say something like that, Jim?
And Peter, before you do, though, I want to just say this. You know, as Liz Warren's saying that, too, she's trying to take the immutable aspect of skin color and equate that to being LGBT.
Absolutely. Good point, Jim. And I was going to say that the one questioner brought up the Pulse was in the Pulse nightclub. There are men who were at that nightclub once identified as gay, who got saved, who accepted Jesus Christ, whose lives have been turned around. They're Pulse survivors, and they've left homosexuality behind through the power of Jesus Christ. Would these Democrats deny their civil rights?
Dennis is calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go ahead, Dennis, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to make these couple of comments here. First of all, I would never back a human being like Elizabeth Warren. I'm hearing from other sources about all the lies she's been telling. And, but I want to say that, God's not going to stand for this. He's not going to stand for it. And making fun of God, making fun of little children, singing songs. I learned those songs in Sunday school and in grammar school. But God didn't say have sex with the same kind of gender that you are. He didn't say that. I never heard that. But Elizabeth Warren, I do hate to say this, she will probably wind up being the one who will oppose Trump in the election. Cory Booker, he's losing financial backing. And all of them are grabbing at straws to try to win this election, and they're going to say and do anything. But I fear that Elizabeth Warren would put through a lot of the things she said she would. I do fear that that could happen.
Yeah.
So we got to pray for this nation. Pray desperately that things will be turned around here.
Dennis, thank you for your thoughts here today. We are up against a break. Peter LaBarbera is with us here from Americans for Truth about homosexuality, americansfortruth.com. We'll take this quick 60-second break and come back to those online right now from Santa Fe, Lawrence, Michigan, Phoenix, Arizona. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. G. Brock Chisholm, in the 1940s, helped to found the World Federation of Mental Health. What was their goal? In part, to set up traditional values as being the sign of mental illness. In fact, Mr. Chisholm declared, quote, "The people who have been taught to believe whatever they were told by their parents or their teachers are the people who are the menace to the world," end quote. So if you believe in right and wrong, you're mentally ill. He stated this, in fact, in a previous comment, quote, "If the race is to be free from the crippling burden of good and evil, it must be psychiatrists who take the original responsibility," end quote. He also laid out, if you believed in the free market system and private property, and you defended your private property, that was a sign of someone who was neurotic, mentally ill. Sound familiar?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera with us today from AmericansForTruth.com. Let's go right back to the lines. David in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. A quick question. It's a sidebar thing from this whole thing, which is, of course, just any kind of an assault on our First Amendment. But Ocasio-Cortez, does the speaker believe she is the same girl that did, you know, fight a vigorous campaign and unseat a long-sitting guy there, or she just was hijacked by the Democratic Party and this obvious takeover by the radical left? Mm-hmm. I mean, is she even resembling that same person that ran that campaign?
Well, she certainly has morphed and has been perhaps molded by the individuals causing her to run for that campaign. But I don't want to go too far afoul from our topic here today, dealing with this presidential candidate's town hall that happened last week. What's your response to that, David?
Well, they've completely lost the election, and now it's just full court press, you know, no holds barred.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastical, insane, beyond comprehension, because they can't win, basically. There's no way they can win next year. I think they know it, and that's what this latest little, you know, Iran gate or, what you know, Ukraine gate and China gate and every kind of gate they can make up, they definitely know they're not winning.
Okay.
The DNC does.
Well, you know, Jim, a little history.
Thank you, David.
In 2008, when Barack Obama, running for office, said he was against homosexual so-called marriage as a religious issue. Remember, mm-hmm. he said God was in the mix. Look at how far we've come in what? Less than 12 years. And Hillary Clinton, were she up on the stage that Thursday, Jim, she would be as radical as every one of those candidates.
Yeah. Zoltan in Lawrence, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to comment in regards to the circus that went on the other night with Don Lemon and the show that went on. I happened to catch part of that. Now, I believe that Cory Booker is a liar or a deceiver, and the reason is he talked about, after that gentleman said about the Pulse nightclub, and Cory Booker goes on a rant about right-wing extremists and all the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm wrong and my brain doesn't serve me, the individual who did the shooting was a Muslim involved in homosexual activity who was guilt-ridden, who shot these people up as a form of jihad. He had connections, I believe it was in Iran or Iraq. His father was a government official. Anyway, was not a right wing. It was a Muslim jihadi that did the Pulse shoot up, although they'd like to sweep it under the carpet.
Well, and San Bernardino and others,
Don Lemon, who was doing the moderating, he himself has a lawsuit against him for propositioning a homosexual proposition.
Well, you see, you've got to change the narratives to have people come alongside you and say, to agree with you in this regard. But Fred, it is not those. And he kept, you know, talking about haters and so forth. Indeed, we've got to take a second look at that and not just take what he is saying at face value. And I appreciate your pointing that out.
And Jim, Don Lemon himself, the questioner, like the caller said, is a homosexual. A lot of people don't know. He was molested as a boy by an older man in the neighborhood. I think a guy around 20 years old, wasn't super old, but Don Lemon as a young boy was sexually molested by a homosexual, as many so-called openly gay men have been. And so this is a double tragic for this man.
Fred is calling next from Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Fred.
You know, one of the major tenets of the homosexual community, LGBTQT as well, is that they were born into this condition. And a recent study, five to eight year study, was released by two secular research teams of prestigious value, Harvard and MIT. And they were looking for the gay gene, and they couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And they said there is no gay gene.
Mm-hmm.
This now points it over, or shifts it over to the fact that this entire affair is a choice of behavioral essence that they, somewhere along the line in their development or in the past, they've made a choice to go into this arena. The second thing comes from the psychosocial realm, and this is also a fact, that those who have experienced the transgender surgery have a suicide rate as high as 48%. Yes. And so there's so much evil to this that it has to be called out, and you guys are doing a fabulous job for the rest of us. Thanks.
Thank you for the call here, Fred. Peter, they didn't find the gay gene. Matter of fact, Scripture even talks about those who have a perverted lifestyle and says, such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6:11, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. If one had this gay gene, you wouldn't be able to change that. One cannot change their skin color, but the actual of sexual preference does change.
Absolutely, Jim. There are many, many ex-gays and ex-transgenders. There's a whole movement called the detransitioning movement, which is people who started taking the hormones to allegedly change their sex. Of course, you can't change your sex.
Right.
God made you either male or female. But they're detransitioning. They're getting off the hormones, and they're going back to the sex that they naturally were born to be. And then, like I said, there are pulse survivors who accepted Christ, repented of their lifestyle, and are now living a life honoring to God. And so how dare the homosexual, bisexual, transgender, queer movement say that you cannot change when so many people have left that lifestyle? And these ex-gays are the biggest victims of bigotry today. They're the ones who are being victimized by this powerful sin movement called gay.
Dee in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a couple of things. A question on your TV 30 out of the UK, I believe, there was a doctor that spoke very firmly. He says, I'm medical. There is no such thing as a DNA for transgender and all the names that are given, only male and female, and he is absolute about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting troubles. That's one question. I don't know. I don't have his name. I heard it on your wonderful program. The other is, no one is speaking about AIDS. I have a medical background. We used to care for, know about. What happened to that? I know it's very prevalent in the lifestyle.
Okay, Dee, we're down to 30 seconds. Peter, your response.
Okay, Jim, I know you told me there was a question at this debate, so-called debate, in which candidates were asked about laws which punished people for intentionally infecting others with HIV. This happens in the homosexual community and other communities, and they disavowed those laws. So they are in favor of not punishing somebody who infects somebody intentionally with HIV. It's shocking.
They're calling for the repeal of laws that require disclosure of HIV positive status to their partners. It's absolutely appalling. We've run out of time. I'm sorry, Dee, I don't have the doctor's name right here at the tip of my tongue. Thank you for the call. Peter LaBarbera, the website AmericansForTruth.com. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks for all you guys do.
Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.